Hello and welcome back to the Education on Fire Primary Music Membership. We are talking today our first recorder lessons. So we've spoken already in previous videos generally about pitch and about rhythm and composition and how you can do these things. We're now talking about what to do when we first start to get these instruments out and we start having our first lessons. So how to get started playing recorder?
Well, this is one of the absolute joys of my life. I love teaching the recorder. I love those first lessons where you really get such big results. So I've written something here, which is what I do when I absolutely walk into a classroom and nobody's played a recorder before and they don't really know what to do with it. And yes, I've got some books with some music in there, but we don't know how to get to that point. So this is going to bridge from getting that recorder out of its case to picking up a Sarah Watts book later on down the line. So we're going to learn how to read and play using a steady pulse. These are words we've used before, and it's all really important to have in our music. Read, play, and compose using some basic rhythms. Read, play, and compose using the first five notes on a recorder. And I use a bit of a formula for it. So you're going to see pretty quickly as you go through how this works and how it's easy. I'm aiming it at people that really have never played before. So if you need to skip some pages because you've done this with your class or you really understand it or you have a different way of teaching it, go ahead, skip some pages. But I'm aiming this at people who really have never taught recorders before. I would be delighted to hear if somebody actually said at the end of the day, you gave me the confidence to actually have a try. That I would love to convert some more people into recorder players and recorder teachers. That would be great. So let's have a look. Keeping a steady pulse. We need to have a steady pulse in music. Our pulse, as we've already explained previously, is when we just keep that beat going solidly all the way through. You're about to play the recorder with 30 people. You've got to do it all at the same time. The pulse is going to be really important to you. So I've used this heart method, as in heartbeats. And the idea there, we've got four heartbeats. It's going to go one, two, three, four. Simple as that. We're not going to go one, two, three, four. It's a steady pulse. They have to be even. And I've asked you to march to the beat. I've asked you to clap and march to the beat. I've also got there, as you can see in blue at the bottom there, underlined, what is the beat? If you see something underlined, give it a click because I've put a little bit more of either an explanation or a little bit of a tip, a handy hint of how to get there for you. So just you click it, it'll come on. If you click it again, that page will go away. So now I said, let's try keep marching on the beat, as we've been doing. But then I'm saying, actually, we're marching, but can we clap just on beat one? So, Mark, could you actually give us a click on beat one so that...
One, two, three, four.
There we go. So you can hear how that would be if you were marching and doing clapping instead. Let's just run down, Mark, and do beat two instead. See if it feels a bit trickier. So one, two, three, four. One, two, four, one. How about one and three? One, two, three, four. And all of those things, you can take 5 minutes of working on those with the children. Maybe some children could march and some children could clap. Maybe you could all march and clap together. I'm going to completely leave that to you to actually figure out how you want to do that. But it's a really, really good way for the children to understand how to keep a steady pulse with our music. I've put a question there. Why do we need to have a steady pulse? Playing together with a steady pulse helps play at the same time. That's really useful. And it helps our brains make sense of the music and its style. And I'll explain a little bit more about that later on. So let's bring a little science in. We've got recorder. What is a recorder? How does it work? At this point, I would give them to the children and have them look at them. The first thing they'll probably do is take them apart and they'll put them back together again, hopefully. You know, they want to see what does each little bit do. If you can, then allow them to have a little go. Ask them to play really, really quietly, really gently. Just ask them to blow it and try it, see how it happens. I've popped a few little notes there about how your recorder is actually working and how you're going to change note and why you're going to change note, bringing in some of that musical vocabulary. It's always nice in a music class as well to have a vocabulary list down the side. So for recorder, I would put the word recorder, I would put the word pulse and beat up, and I would also have the word pitch on the board right now just for our musical vocabulary. Then we're going to learn our first note. So our first note is B on a recorder. And if you take a look at the picture, from these wonderful tubes, we need to put your left hand at the top of the recorder. You'll see that written in every book. You must have your left hand at the top. Yeah, for a woodwind instrument, you must have your left hand at the top. And I'm going to guarantee that about 90% of your class right now will put their right hand at the top. I'm probably not going to argue too much about that. If they try to play a clarinet or a saxophone or a flute, they can't put the left hand at the top. We can fix it later. But to be correct, we should have our left hand at the top. You want your left thumb on the back and you want your first finger over the first hole. Squeeze your fingers tightly, blow gently. I am going to play a B for you just to check out if it's your first time of playing that you think you're doing the right thing. So this is what a B sounds like. If it sounds any different, you're doing something wrong. One of your fingers has probably slipped off. Then we're going to do the same thing again, but we're going to add the note A this time. You've got your first finger on, add your second. I've written a whole paragraph on how to do that, but that's literally what you're doing, adding your second. I've popped a question at the bottom. How do A and B sound differently? I think the children should be able to tell you this by now. So here's the A. And I'm going to go from B to A. And those notes have gone up and down in one step. They're next door neighbor notes. Let's move on to our next one. Let's bring our love hearts back again. These lovely heartbeats that I've put a star in the middle now. So on every star, I would like us to play one B. So this should sound one, two, three, four. And I'd repeat it with the note A. If you want to do this yourself and you're not interested in having a star in there, have a dot in there, have anything. The star isn't really that important. It's just telling us how many notes we're playing per beat. And looking at our bottom one, we've now got two notes in each beat. So we're now going to play. And then we just can keep doing that with our A. Our next page, I've gone right back to the single notes, but then when we click it again, I've got a longer note. So this one is going to be two beats. This is going to last for. So one, two, one, two, ta, ta. So already in a few sheets, we've got two notes on the go and we've got three different note lengths. We've got our one count note lengths. We've got our two notes per beat, and we've also got our two beat notes on the go there. We can now mix it up, can't we? That was the same line again and again and again. I just switched between B's and A's on it. We've now composed a little bit of music. We've made ourselves our little tune. Can you make some patterns of your own? I'm sure people can make some patterns of their own. Another one just there. Ta, ta, ta. Mix up the B's and A's. Make up some patterns of your own. And now you've got a whole piece of music. I've included some sheets away from the board. So feel free to print this sheet off and have the children do whatever shape they want in those hearts. You're just marking the hearts. That's the point, so that they can play their music. Maybe write in the B or the A. Then we move on to the next note once we've got the hang of the other two, and to our note G. We're simply adding our next finger. You should only be using one hand on your recorder as well. It's really important to say that we shouldn't be playing the B and A with our left hand and the G adding our right hand to this. This is only one hand. Sometimes I do have the children sitting on their other hand to make sure, or waving at me with their other hand, just to make sure they're only using that one hand. This is the next note down and it sounds like this. So we've got a B, then an A, then a G. Just simple as that. I've popped some tips in because G is the bit of a sticking point, really. If you look at your recorder, you'll see that the holes actually are offset slightly. If you just pop your finger on for G, you'll miss. And your note will end up sounding like this. Which wasn't. That's what you're aiming for. So you really have to deliberately bend your finger and make sure it's on that hole. I'm sure if you try that yourself, you'll realize you've got to bend that knuckle and it'll make a lot more sense to you. So now we've got three notes. I've popped a question on which note sounds highest, which note sounds lowest. I'd like the children to be able to answer you that. We're simply going to mix up those notes. I would say if you've got B, A and G down and you've been learning to play some rhythms and you've got a steady pulse, you've got a lesson right there. You've probably done now. You're going to mix these notes up, make yourself a little tune. That's got to be a lesson right there. And then you'd be going back the next week for the next bit, I would think. And again, print this sheet off so the children can colour in the holes and make their own piece of music. Moving on to hot cross buns, we're now going to actually make a piece of music. You can see the format's exactly what you've been playing. I've got the recorder tube pictures there. So you can see we're playing a one hole, two holes, three holes. We've got the letters on there, B-A-G, and we've got the hearts from previously. So hopefully the children will be able to follow how to play that. How do I start? Whenever you start a piece of music, it's a really good idea to clap the rhythm first, then sing the tune out loud, and then you play the tune. Just heading straight on to playing any piece of music isn't really going to work. So always try those with whatever piece of music it's on, and I won't put that on every sheet that I ever do, but it's a really, really good starting point. Always clap it, sing it out loud, and then play it together. Merrily we roll along, exactly the same way as hot cross buns. You can try and get these pieces played by rote. It won't take long for the children to learn them by rote. And again, you can stop right there if you want to. The children can play their pieces. That's great. But it'd be nice to include some music notation. So the first thing to learn is how to read some rhythm. So on the screen in front of you, you can see I've put all the music notes that we're going to be using, all the basic music notes and those ones that we're going to be using in this PowerPoint. I've popped some starter questions. Which note's shortest, which is longest, and then can you create some musical maths? You can see each of those notes has got a numerical value. So if you were to do a one beat plus a two beat, well, you'd get a three beat, wouldn't you? Have the children do some musical maths with that. They may know their proper names as well, the conventional names as quavers, crotchets, minims, dotted minims, semibreves as well. And again, that's on just on a click at the bottom for you to have that up if you want to teach them the proper notation. Printable sheet. The point of this sheet for me is to have the children draw music notes. They very rarely do it. And I'll have children come to me that have been playing a musical instrument, a trumpet, you know, a clarinet for a significant length of time. And when I give them a piece of paper and ask them to draw a music note, they've never actually done one. They read beautifully, but they've never actually written them down. So the idea of this page for me is to have every child just drawing music notes. And then if you wanted to do that extension task, and get them to do some musical maths. When we put them together, we get our rhythm patterns. Our rhythm is when we play long and short notes in a pattern. We've discussed this previously in our other sheets, and I'm going to talk about rhythm as in musical patterns. I like to put some words to it. So when I see that one count note, that crotchet, the coloured in note, I like to say ta to it. When I put the minim, the two count note, which is the not coloured in one, if we say ta, that lasts for one, two beats. So if we look at that first rhythm there, that would say ta, 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 ta. That's a lot easier than going, it's a one, it's one, it's a one, two, because I didn't have any pulse when I said that. But when I said ta, 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 ta. We can really hear how that's very steady and it was moving along. If we have a quavers, those are the connected notes, the coloured in connected ones. Tatti, tatti, ta, tatti, ta, tatti, ta, tatti, ta. There are all sorts of other conventions of a coffee, tea, coffee, tea, coffee, tea, running, walk, running, walk. Lots and lots of different words you can apply to those. I use the ta and the tas. Those are a vocal method, and I find that it works. It works very well. Again, make up some rhythms. Not that dissimilar to the previous worksheet. Do you need to even print this off? You know, you could just put that up and have the children do this on their whiteboards, couldn't you? Just draw in more musical notes, make up some rhythms, and have them play them on their recorders, have them clap them back, have them sing them back, and then we're going to use them in our pieces of music. So hot cross buns, you've already done this. So really, this is probably by rote now, but we've got the musical notation at the top instead of the heartbeats. So now we're asking the children to play something that they already know, but to follow that rhythm. And they'll find that very easy to do now. they wouldn't have found that easy if you didn't have the heartbeats to begin with, because they're learning the notes at that time. But now they know the notes, they know the names. The only thing we've changed now is to put those musical notes across the top, and they'll get the hang of that really, really easily. And so I've done exactly the same thing for Merrily We Roll Along. The children will know it. You'll be able to whiz through this, and they'll have achieved quite a lot. If you just take a look, there, I actually have got black lines. If you have a look, we've got B-A-G-A, and then there's a black line, B-B-B, and then there's a black line. In music, we group notes into a certain number, and this piece is in four time. And so every four beats, we've got a bit of a line. We call that a bar line, and it's purely to separate out and to group our notes together. I'm sure one of the children will ask you what they are, and that's what they're for. They're separating our musical notes into groups of four, but we will be talking about that a little bit later on. If you want to continue and now start to teach the children a little bit about the music, Dave, and how music works, there will be another PowerPoint demystifying this and to break this down for you a little bit more. But you know, if you follow these instructions, you will be able to actually teach the children how to play their hot cross buns by actually reading music on the stave. The music stave is five lines. That creates four spaces. Music notes sit either with a line going through the middle of them, or they sit in a space between two lines. The lower the note, the lower it is on our music stave or our ladder, looks like a ladder, and the higher the note goes close to the top. There's some music staves to print off for you to have the children literally draw music notes on the lines and spaces. If you don't want to print it off, have the children actually draw the five lines themselves. It's something I quite often get them to do. If I want them to understand there are five lines there, have them draw five lines rather than me just give the piece of paper with them on. And also, of course, it's a little bit of practice with a pencil and ruler, isn't it? So cross-curricular there. So this is where we sit the note B. It's the first note we're going to play in hot cross buns, the first note we learn. If we count from the bottom, so bottom line is line one, then line two, our B sits with line three running straight through the middle of it, and the stick is going to go down for this note. Every time you see that note with the middle line, line three going through the middle, you play B. You never play any other note. Then A is one step down, which is the next space. Remember, the notes go line, space, line, space, line, space. So the next note to a line note must be a space note. And B is one step higher. A is written at one step lower on the ladder. And then we have G. It's a lower note again. So it's written one step lower again. We've had a line note. We've had a space note. We're back to another line note. So we're just remembering that the music stave is line, space, line, space, line, space. Music notes have to sit with a line through them or in a space. After that, it's just a matter of learning which line, which space that is. It takes a while, but that is literally all it is. Do you remember which note is which? Well, just in case, I've put the answers there for you. Here we go. And once again, it's the same sheet as previously, a couple of music staves. Instead of the children just randomly drawing now, they need to be writing B's and A's and G's to actually figure that out. Maybe they could draw them in different colours so you know which ones are which. So now we're onto hot cross buns. And this is a real panic now because there's a load of music notes, but there are no letters written on. And there's this funny number at the beginning. If you remember earlier, I pointed out that we have every four beats, we have a line. You can see the line in its position now. And the number four on the top there is telling you that after four beats, we're going to have that bar line. We're going to separate those bars out, separate those groups of music notes. That number doesn't have to be a four. It could be a two, it could be a three, it could be six, it could be, you know, lots of other numbers. It could be, but usually, and especially in early music, it will be a number four for four beats in a bar. So what would be lovely is if the children could tell you now which notes are going to be which. They may be able to, because remember, they know this piece by rote. So they may be able to figure it out. But if you're not sure, click the button and the letters will come on. I've done it that way, so you have a choice of playing it with or without the letters on there. I've done exactly the same thing for Merrily We Roll Along. The notes are on, the notes are off, whichever way you want that to be. And then I've given you a new tune. So this is, can we apply our B, A and G as we've been learning them? Yes, you may be able to. Maybe that the children can figure out where the B is, or the A is, the A is usually an easier one because it's the only one in the space. So maybe actually if you drew circles around those A's, then you don't need to actually write the letter in for those. You could maybe just write the letters in for the G's, or just write the B's in, or there you can have the lot if you want to. It's entirely up to you how you want to do that. So after we did Eau Claire de la Lune, another little bit of composition. So this time we've got a G, A, B and a C. Have we got, can we flip to the next page there, Mark? There we go. Because we haven't learned that note yet. Yeah. So our C is our next note that we're going to learn. So we've done G, A, B, we've done it to bits, we've learned a new tune, a new piece of music. C, if we put our fingers on for A and lift your first one, you'll get a C. That's how that's going to work. And it should sound like this. So I'm going to play now from G all the way up to that new highest note, C. So now we're going to have pieces of music with four notes in them. And you saw previously we had that notation sheet as well, just the same as the others. It's the same system. As I say, this is a formula. Learn the note, draw the note, write the note. It's the same thing round and round again. Clown dance. Can you spot that new note, C? So it'd be nice if you could draw circles around that. I can see that second bar is full of them. And there we are. And I've done them in bold as well because they are that new note that we're introducing. And then we move on and we learn our final note of our five, which is our note D. And this looks like C, but with your thumb off. So if I'd now take it from the G all the way up, there's your five notes, G, A, B, C, D. And there's another worksheet for you, because we've added another note. There we go. Have the children compose a piece of music. They can choose whichever of the notes they like, whatever order they want. It'd be lovely if then they could notate it on the bottom. If that's, you know, you could have ended this before now. You don't have to keep on doing every single stage around here. But there's quite a lot of work to do, and it's quite comprehensive. It's really going to give the children a good idea of how notation works. And then at the end of this, I've just popped a couple of pieces on. I've popped Jingle Bells on there, and I've also popped When the Saints Go Marching In on there for you to play. We've got a new sign on When the Saints Go Marching In. This looks a bit like a lightning bolt. The children tell me it's the lightning bolt, and that means you're going to rest. So this piece will go shh, G, B, C, D, shh, G, B, C, D. It'd be really nice if they could do the shh in their head eventually, but to begin with, you should want to hear all those shushes coming out. And then hopefully that's the way that you can introduce the recorder, that you're brave enough to play the recorder and think, actually, I can do that. That's not that hard. You'd be able to play Hot Cross Buns and Merrily very quickly yourself by rote. Therefore, you'll be able to teach the children very, very quickly. I could have added a lot more detail. I could have done Hot Cross Buns in a round. We could have played the whole thing loudly. We could have played the whole thing quietly. We could have played it tap, 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 or do, 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 do. We could play them in smooth and detached ways. Lots and lots of different ways to play these pieces. After you've done that, go ahead, pick up some Sarah Watts, pick up Razzmatazz. That would be my next place to go. Razzmatazz Book 1 uses the notes G, A, B, C, D as you've just done. It's all notated in there. It's got a great backing track. And I really would encourage you to get that book and to play that system. Red Hot Recorder has more notes in it and it's more of a tutor book. They're great. John Pitt, the recorder from the beginning, he has the whole of the recorder notes in there. It's a wonderfully put together book, though, and he has a lovely Christmas book as well. And he uses, as I say, he uses both hands on the recorder. But if you've done this PowerPoint already, you'd be brave enough to add the other hand and start doing some small pieces. So hopefully this has got you started off.